Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Like if you go to a place that is a spa, they talk about ministering or helping your soul and your body to relax. And a lot of times these different organizations, or maybe that massage place or that vacation place that you're going to that's going to rejuvenate soul and body, what they forget is that there's a third part to us that is the most important, and that is the spirit. Because we are a three-part being. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So I am spirit primarily because that's the part of me that's going to live forever. My spirit man's going to live forever. It's eternal. Whether heaven or hell, our spirits will live forever. But also our souls will live forever too, because just because your body dies and it stays here doesn't mean you'll lose your mind when you go to heaven and forget who you are. Because you'll have your soul, you'll have your thinking, your intellect, your memories, all those things. You'll know who people are in heaven. So your soul, your feelings, your emotions will go to heaven. The only part that you leave behind when you die is your body. That stays in the, that goes in the grave, or these days people, what do? They cremate you, mostly to save money, because it costs a lot of money to put people in a hole, right? And so I got this I wanted to give you a visual picture of this, and I got this quirky video. It's a little bit quirky, but it really does give you a good understanding of the difference between spirit, soul, and body. So, but first, say this after me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. That's how we like to say it. And our main text is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here we see the three. We also sang about it with the song, "I'll love you with all of my..." How's it go, Ben? The chorus, "I love you with all my heart, soul, strength." You know, heart is synonymous with spirit in the Bible. Soul is synonymous with your mind. Strength is synonymous with your body. Three part. And Jesus said that we're supposed to love him with all three. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, your soul, and your strength. Your heart, your soul, your strength. All three. So let's watch this quirky video. We'll turn the lights off. Pay attention really close. This guy has a southern accent. His name's Andrew Womack. He's actually a really famous preacher. Amazing revelation. He teaches a lot on the revelation of the spirit, soul, and body. So let's get this. You guys ready with that?
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and I'm going to be talking about spirit, soul, and body, which may not sound the most exciting thing to you on the surface, but to me, this is one of the most exciting things that the Lord has ever shown me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that is so obvious. We are made up of a spirit, soul, and body. And the body is very obvious. If you go look in a mirror, that's the part that you see. Now, you would be speaking to my soul, which is my mental, emotional part. Some people define soul as your mind, will, and emotions, and I think that that certainly is true. I don't think that it's all-inclusive. There's more to it. I believe that your conscience is a part of your soul. Your soul certainly includes your mental, emotional part. I believe it's what most people call their personality. If I was to touch your physical body, you can feel that. But I can also touch you by words, and it can touch your emotions. It can either make you glad are sad. It can make you angry. You can say words and hurt a person. So the body and the soul are two areas that every one of us are in touch with constantly. But the spirit part of us is a totally different matter. Jesus said this in John chapter 3 when he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And there is no direct connection between the two. You cannot in a physical, natural way feel your spirit. The spirit cannot be accessed in any natural way, and herein lies one of the great problems in the Christian life. The spirit is the part of us that God communicates with, and the spirit is the part of us that all of the life and the power of God flows through. In James chapter 2, verse 26, the scripture there says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And that just makes it very clear that the life-giving part of you is the spirit. One of the greatest keys to walking with the Lord for me has been to understand this reality of spirit, soul, and body, that the spirit realm cannot be seen or felt. The only way to discern what is spiritual truth is through the Bible, to just take it and believe it. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 63. He says, "The flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." It's revealing to us spiritual reality. And if you want to know what your spirit is like, then you have to go to God's Word to find it out. You can't just go by an emotion, by some type of perception. You have to go to God's Word. Here's another passage of Scripture in James chapter 1, and in verse 23 it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." This is talking about a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," talking about God's word, specifically the revelation of the gospel, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This passage of Scripture is likening the Bible unto a mirror that you look in to see your spiritual face, to see what you are in the spirit. You, with your eyes, have never looked directly into your face. You've always looked at a reflection or a representation, but you've gotten to where you trust that. Well, the Word of God is a perfect reflection of what spiritual truth is. You can't sit there and say, "Well, I think that, you know, all my mascara is on and that my face is fixed, my hair is combed, and I'm ready to go." You can't go by how you feel. You have to go look in that mirror and then you trust what you see. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God gives you a perfect picture of who you are in your spirit. And it's the only way.
Awesome.
Hello, right.
That's it for that. Thank you, guys. All right, so three-part being. Say this after me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Unless you're taking notes, don't be on Facebook. Don't be doing any social media. Appreciate that. All right, so first of all, let's talk about the body, okay? The body, there are five physical senses. Everybody knows what the senses are? Sight through the eyes, hearing through the ears, tasting through the mouth and tongue, smell through the nose, and feeling through the what? Our nerves, right? And through these five physical senses, we communicate to the world. We have consciousness, all right? The soul controls the different members or parts of the body, and they become instruments of man's behavior, right? Man does deeds in life, either righteous or unrighteous. The body is temporal, means it's going to perish someday, it's going to die. At death, it's corruptible, and what happens when the body dies? It turns back to what? Dust, right? Turns back to dust. Now, we feed the body. We got to keep it healthy, right? How do we do that? We eat cupcakes. We come to youth group and we eat nachos and cheese, right? We go to Chipotle and we stuff ourselves with a big fat burrito. And if that lady doesn't make my burrito big, we get angry. One time we were in New York City and we were so hungry with all my family. And we found and everything's so expensive there. And we pull into Chipotle, right? We walk in Chipotle and we didn't know it, but this lady just started working there and she started to make the burrito. And you know how they stuff the thing where they can barely fit it into the little silver piece of tinfoil? This lady made this little burrito, and I'm sitting there going, seriously, are you kidding me? I said, is that all I get? And the manager came over and said, no, she's not doing that right. I was like, thank God, I ain't paying $6 for that. Why? Because my flesh was hungry. My body is hungry. You got to feed your flesh, right? But if you feed your flesh wrong things, it's your flesh that wants to sin. It's your flesh that wants to overeat. It's your flesh that wants to engage in wrongdoing, sexual sin. Your flesh is something that you have to get under control. It's where the sin part of you, that's where the battle takes place. People that only feed their body and their flesh and their senses live in this earth how they feel. They basically follow how they feel, and if it feels good, do it, and that's how they get their life in trouble. Now, our mind or our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. We basically make decisions with our will. Our will is kind of the balancer in the middle. It's a scale that weighs good and evil. Our soul is also, like I said, an eternal part of us. It continues its existence after death, either in heaven or hell. I mean, you either go to heaven or you either go to hell. So the will is the part of the soul that makes all the decisions, right? We are and we become what we decide. People that are in jail decided one day that they were going to go do drugs and do drugs more, run out of money, and then go rip off a store and get arrested. And they're in jail because of their decisions, because they fed their body those drugs. They fed their flesh. And because of that, their flesh and their body spoke loud. They made wrong decisions. And most of them was one bad decision. They borrowed somebody's gun and they got arrested, you know, for robbing a store, robbing a bank. And they're in there regretting that bad decision that they made. So balanced decisions between the mind and the emotions are important. To take into account our emotions and our intellect together. Unbalanced decisions are done by either our emotions. You can be an over-emotional person and make horrible decisions. Anybody know anybody that's over-emotional? Like they're like, everything is feelings, everything is feel good, do it. They can be really annoying. They're unstable in everything they do. But then you have the other person who's like over-intellectual. You know the like they've got all these degrees behind their name. You can't tell them anything. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you try to, you know, bring up a point. You'll try to point something out to them and they think they know everything because they're over-intellectual. Those are the worst people to reach with the gospel because they think they know everything. Anybody know a know-it-all? Know-it-all personalities are the worst to get along with. They are like annoying. They think they know everything. Do you ever notice that a know-it-all person, you can't shut them up? They always keep talking. You know what annoys me the most is somebody who does not know when to end a conversation. Anybody been there? I'm talking about they keep talking and talking and talking. It's like, I got to go. Don't you know I got to go? It's like, oh, please, annoy me to all get out, right? All right. So, also within our mind is this. It's a very important part of our mind. It's called our imagination. It's where we dream. It's where we dream about our future. Some of you guys, girls dream about the perfect guy. Getting married. Oh, yes. Girls are dreaming about that perfect guy getting married. Got the perfect body, right? Six-pack abs. Yeah. Tanned. But also, he's not only good-looking, but he's going to college. He's got like a vision for his life. He's going to be a doctor, and you know he's going to make $250,000 a year, right? And you're thinking about house, you're thinking about beach house, and you're thinking about your SUV BMW, right? Your imagination, you know what I'm talking about? You're thinking about that Mercedes, and you're dreaming about your future. And it's good, your imagination is good, but how many know the devil is going to attack your imagination? The devil is all about trying to get you to begin to imagine wrong things and do evil. Begin to get you imagine. That's why the internet is so bad concerning pornography and all that stuff. If that can capture you, it'll capture your imagination, it'll capture your emotions, and eventually you'll allow your flesh and your body to do those things and get yourself in trouble, which eventually, you know, promiscuity ends up with disease, with AIDS, with venereal disease, with all the different things that a lot of times are incurable. And because of wrong decisions and because of feeding your flesh and feeding your mind, we get ourselves into trouble. Thank God for our body and the body that we're supposed to take care of. Thank God for our mind, our will, our emotions, and our imagination. But really, the thing that we should be feeding the most is our spirit, man. And the only way, like we saw in the video, to feed our spirit, man, is with the Bible. Spirit man needs spirit food. Spirit food is the Word of God. That's the only way you can feed your spirit. That's why the devil wants to keep you from youth group, wants to keep you from church, because he knows if you can feed your spirit, you'll become a strong person. You'll become a reasonable person. You'll be able to change your thinking. You'll be able to project your future in God's eyes instead of your own eyes. You'll be able to fulfill God's will and God's plan on this earth and be used by God when you begin to start to think like God thinks. He does not want you to think like God thinks, the devil. He wants you to think like the world thinks. He wants you to be ruled by your emotions, by your unrenewed mind, and by your sinful nature. Our spirit became born again. When you received Christ as your Savior, you became a new creature in Christ. All old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. God put a heart of flesh inside of you, a soft, pliable heart inside of you that we're supposed to keep it soft so that when we come to church, we're able to hear God's word, receive God's word, not be in, like I've heard that before, not be a know-it-all, be open to learn and to be a doer of God's word. Spiritual people demonstrate positive behavior, and what they do is they produce fruit. They produce fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." Now see, unspiritual people, those who feed their flesh and feed their body, they demonstrate negative behavior, and they produce works of the flesh. You guys want to know what works of the flesh are? Here's this, in Galatians chapter 5, right before that, in verse 19. Here's the difference between someone who feeds their body and their flesh and with an unrenewed mind and soul and emotions as compared to someone who I just read feeds their spirit man with the word of God. Somebody who feeds their flesh, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. The number one in the list is this, sexual immorality. Number two, impurity. Number three, debauchery. Idolatry. Witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. This is in the Bible. This is like New Testament, orgies, all right? It says this, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." See, the behavior of a person reveals what's going on inside of them. You can tell what someone has been thinking or what they've been imagining by what they do. Because what somebody is doing in their life isn't a result of something they thought about yesterday. It's something that they've meditated on and imagined for years. Somebody that rapes another person hasn't just thought about that the day before. They've been addicted to pornography and they've been thinking about doing these things for a long time. But they got to that point where their emotions have gotten out of control and they don't care what the consequences are. Understanding our behavior is so important. God wants you to change your behavior, and he's able to help you to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of you. It's beneficial for us to look and examine our own behavior. It reflects the contents of our mind, our emotions, and our will. So, in closing tonight, you need to ask yourself these questions concerning what are you feeding yourself? What are you allowing yourselves to think about and to imagine? Where are your thoughts? Do you make wise decisions or do you make foolish decisions? Do you feel contaminated on the inside? Do you feel fearful? Do you behave irresponsibly? Do you feel ashamed at times? Do you feel worthless? Do you feel inferior? Do you feel like a failure? Are you hurting or are you grieving on the inside? Are you lonely? Are you depressed? Do you feel deceived? Do you feel anger and hatred? Do you feel proud and boastful and have that kind of an attitude? I know that's a lot of questions to mull over in the side of your head. But maybe one of those hit something on the inside of you. And I want to let you know tonight that there's hope. The answer for every one of your struggles is found in God's word. He sent his Spirit here to help us and to guide us and to set us free so that we don't have to be in bondage to those feelings. Because the Bible says we don't live by how we feel. We walk by faith and not by sight. Many times I don't feel like being a father. I don't feel like being a pastor. I don't feel like being responsible. But I don't live by how I feel. I am responsible because I'm going to do it whether I feel like it or not. Many times you can change your feelings by doing something when you don't feel like it. Feelings in the Christian life follow actions. Those who aren't Christians, who are led by their flesh, first they get a feeling and then they do something. Christians are completely opposite. We act and feelings follow. So you would ask yourself this question: how do I love somebody that I don't feel like loving them? Well, you actually perform the act of love, meaning love is an action, love is kindness, love is patient, love is helping someone else, whether you feel like it or not. And you know what? Feelings and emotions follow actions. So if you want to change your feelings towards someone or towards a situation, begin to obey God's word and begin to act before you feel. This is the sign of a mature person in Christ. That they don't live by how they feel. They're not overly emotional, although we love to have good feelings. And I'll take all the good feelings I can get. But when I don't have good feelings, I'm not going to allow the negative feelings of my past and the condemnation or guilt that I might feel from the mistakes or sin that I've done in the past rule my life. That's where true freedom comes in. Upon discovering the thoughts and the feelings that cause these reactions, they must be dealt with immediately. It does not help to temporarily just numb them and forget about them. Negative thoughts must be taken captive. Negative imaginations must be cast down. How do we do that? Well, there's one last scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says this: we demolish arguments. Now that's found in the NIV, but the King James Version says this: we cast down imaginations. When we have an imagination, something that we've been thinking about that is against God's word, and we know that it's against God's word, it says we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above God's word. Every feeling or every temptation that's coming that you know is not good, it's evil. You know it's a temptation from the enemy. You cast that down It's coming against the knowledge, against the Bible, and you take it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Listen, from a person's birth, since you were born, Satan has begun to attack your mind, your emotions, and your will. And his purpose in your life is to negatively affect you and to break you down so that you are not going to make a difference in this world. God wants to renew that. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to set you free. He wants to make you whole. He wants to help you to not just be overly emotional. He wants to help you to make rational, wise decisions so that down the road you can look back and you can say to yourself, thank God I never went there. Thank God I never obeyed my flesh. Thank God I didn't give up my virginity. Thank God I didn't rob that store when I needed money. Thank God I didn't end up in jail. You know? Thank God today I can look back and I can say, thank you, Lord, for protecting me from evil. Amen? So that's my message today. Everybody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. Your primary responsibility as a Christian is to feed your spirit, man. And you can't do that by coming to church once a week or twice a week. Every day, open up God's word, feed your spirit, become strong, begin to think like God. When you do, it'll set you free. Let's bow our heads, let's pray. Father, we thank you.